You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and be opening to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. While you're turning there, let me just thank you again for coming this morning as we continue our marriage checkup. Before we go to the gym this year, whether it's through Grace Marriage here at church or whether it's in the privacy of our own homes at home, we're taking our marriages to the gym, and hopefully we can avoid that crisis where we have to take them to the hospital. Now, you know what the checkup's for, and we've been diagnosing ourselves and our marriages the last few weeks. We've talked about the foundation of marriage. We've talked about the glory of marriage. And then last week, we began a message entitled The Theology of Marriage. So thank you so much for coming to the doctor, and let us kind of help examine our marriages to see where we're at. And I got good news. We've got the results back. Already, I mean, after 3 weeks, we already know what's wrong with most of our marriages. This message this morning is going to change our marriages. Everybody ready? Now, listen, I know when I go get the physical and then the doctor calls me later and he's going to tell me the results, we've all heard of that guy or gal who's went for the physical, thought they was fine, and then, whoa, got the bad news. But you know, sometimes getting the bad news in times is actually good news. Everybody agree? Because it can literally save your life. I really believe what we're going to say this morning is going to save some marriages. And that marriage just might be yours. Everybody ready? Here's what I think most of us are suffering from. You ready? Amnesia. That's it. Amnesia. We don't remember who we are daily. Now, if you've been with Brother Ricky, you know that from a spiritual perspective, we've been preaching on identity for years, right? We've been trying to tell you the Bible never calls you a sinner who's saved by grace. You were a sinner, but if you've been saved by grace, God didn't leave you as you were a sinner. He changes you from a sinner to a saint. Amen? And once you grasp that and realize, whoa, I'm not a sinner now programmed to fail and to sin, but I'm a saint who can still sin but doesn't want to sin, it changes how you look at life. I don't know why I didn't figure this out sooner. But that's the same thing happening maritally. Some of us as saints of God do not remember who we are in the marriage relationship. Husbands, here's what the x-ray says. You are the head. Amen? I mean, you really are. In this new relationship you have with your wife of oneness, physically, spiritually, and psychologically, you are the head. We all know what heads do. Heads lead. Heads initiate. Paul told us last week as husbands, we are not to boss, we're not to lord over, but we are to love our wives. Now, guys, would you be totally honest with me? How many of you from time to time forget you're not conscious of you are the head. And you're supposed to be the initiator. You're supposed to be the leader. You're supposed to be the lover. You forget. Come on, raise your hand, guys. Let's see a show of hands. Yes. We don't live conscious that every time we see our wife, we go, wow, that's my body. And then we go, that means I'm her head. Same thing with you wives. You forget who you are. You know who you are? You're his body. He's your head. You're his body. What do bodies do? They follow. They respond to their heads. Agreed? Yes. Now, ladies, listen. why God's wired him to be the initiator, why God's wired him to be the leader, so to speak. God's wired you to be the responder. Now, ladies, listen. You never want to be the second, third, or fourth responder. You always want to be the first. You ladies listening to me? You're not just a responder, you're the responder to your head. Now, I know we praise the Lord for those people who volunteer and get paid to be a first responder to a fire and try to put the fire out, but I don't need you ladies trying to put the fire out at home when your husband leads. I need you to be a responder, not foolishly, but I need you to be a responder foolishly. I need you to respond with fuel. And can I just say this, ladies? Please be a first responder to your husband. I just want to be on record as sharing with you, if you don't, there are other human beings walking around who are female who would love to be your husband's first responder. Not because she knows him, just because she is so needy in her life, she will. And can I just say, you're going to be really, 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 really mad when that happens. You're going to be crushed when that happens. And I'm telling you, men, not to ever let somebody else respond to you but your wife. But I'm telling you, ladies, bodies naturally, automatically, lovingly respond to their heads. Please see your husband as your head, and please see yourself as the body in this marriage relationship. I know you're thinking, and we pay you all week to tell us that. Yes, you do, and I just told you the truth. And I really don't need to say any more, but because you do pay me so well, I am going to tell you a little bit more, all right? So let's stand together and open to 1 Peter chapter 2. But I want to hear you. I want to make sure you understand this. Everything I'm going to say is going to be based on this. I'm expecting you to respond correctly based on knowing who you are. If I'm the head, my behavior should show I'm the head. If I'm the body, my behavior should show I'm the body. Identity determines behavior. So ladies, behave like you're the body. Men, behave like you're the head. And it'll change our marriages. If we change our marriages, it'll change our church. And if we change our church, it just might change our community. And if we change our community, it just might change our state. And if we change our state, it just might change our nation. And if we change this nation, guess what? It just might change the world. Now, we're not doing this for any glory, but you know historians always come back and research history, and they always find a place where something started. Wouldn't it be neat if they traced a marital revival to a little town called Hardin, Kentucky? Amen? I believe this much in what we're saying to you this morning. Don't you snooze on me. Don't you even worry about the Super Bowl. That is going on today, right? Okay. Everybody ready? 1 Peter 2:18. I got to trim somewhere because I was about 9 minutes over in the first service. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. Everybody hear that? Peter's telling servants to respect masters, whether masters are good or bad. They're still worthy of respect. Because of the relationship. For this is a gracious thing when mindful of God, one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin. Neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Do you see how Peter's saying that the example to a servant in respecting his master, whether the master's good or bad, is the example of Christ? Does everybody see that? So really the most important relationship if you're a servant is the relationship you have with Christ. And when you have a great relationship with Christ and you follow his example, it changes the way you treat your master. You give him respect whether he deserves it or not. Everybody agree? Because it doesn't lie in what he's doing, it's lying in what you're doing. What you're doing is you're following the example of Christ. Now, I had to read that so that you'll see this. Likewise, in the same manner. In the same manner that a servant follows the example of Christ, guess what wives ought to do? They ought to follow the example of Christ. Guess what husbands ought to do? They too should follow the example of Christ. Likewise, wives, if you're a wife, raise your hand. Amen. If you want to be a wife one day, would you raise your hand? All right. Don't you guys look. No, just, okay, all right. Wives, be subject to your own husbands so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, now it's going to talk to the men. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. You may be seated. Last week we talked about the theology of marriage. Husbands have been designed by God to be the head of the marital relationship. Therefore, the husband should love his wife as Christ loved the church. The wife has been designed by God to mirror the relationship the church has to Christ. Therefore, she is to submit. She's to bring herself under so there'll be order in the home. She is to follow the leadership of her husband. And in this dynamic relationship of oneness where there's a head and a body, we actually picture the relationship Christ has with the church. I don't think there's a one of us in here that disagree with that theological premise. But how do you practically life it out? Sometimes as Baptists, we struggle to put our theology into practice. Everyone agree? So how do we men practice being the head of our bodies? How do we bodies practice being the bodies of our head? What does that look like in our homes? Now, what I want to do is give you some principles that I want you to take home and apply. Because I realize not every man is like me and not every lady is like Salisa. So if I pattern this after our marriage, I will miss some of you. So I want you to take this home and apply these principles to your house. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to start with the men. Now, I know you men don't think you get a fair shake when Brother Ricky preaches on the family. You think I'm too hard on you. I've had husbands call me and tell me that. If I can just be honest with you guys, I don't think I'm hard enough on you. I think I cut you some slack. The only reason I cut you some slack, I need a little slack cut in my life. You realize every time I point at you, I got three of these things pointing back at me. You realize what it's like to have your wife sit on the front row of the last service and hear you as a man of God deliver the word of God about family and knowing you fall short from time to time. So I don't think I'm hard enough on you guys. But I want you to listen to me this morning. I want you to man up. I want you to listen to me. Your wife needs four things from you. I'm going to give you the outline. I'm going to give you the chapter heading. You got to write the chapter with her. You got to make the story a reality. I'm going to base this on what Peter teaches. I'm going to base this on what Paul's teaching. And I don't think I'm going to tell you guys anything I hadn't told you before. But some of us are already not living up to what we already know to be true. So we could go on to something else if we just put in practice what we already know to be true. Got it? So if you don't want to ever hear this sermon again, then life it out, and I'll quit preaching about it. But that means I got to quit hearing about men having affairs, and I got to quit hearing about men in this church leaving their wives. As long as that's happening, we're going to have to address this from time to time. You men got it? You young men that are not married, if you cannot live up to what I'm going to say, you just make a decision today to be single the rest of your life and leave ladies alone. Got it? But I'm telling you, this is the best thing you never have, and that's a wife. Likewise. And we've already been told in Paul's letter that we men are supposed to love our wife like Christ loved the church. Now Peter gives us an example of the love of Christ, that Christ went to a cross and basically suffered unjustly so that there could be a change in the one he was loving. And guys, that's our example. Got it? He laid down his life, Peter said, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Now listen to me, guys. I know your wife knows she's supposed to follow you, but it's really hard to follow somebody who's not following Christ. Even though she's supposed to, why don't you just man up and make it easy for her to follow you, and that's be the man you're supposed to be. Quit being a sissy. Quit being a wimp and get into the gymnasium and become the man you need to be so that you don't ever have to bring your marriage to the hospital. I personally believe that the reason most of our homes are the way they are is because of us as men. I ain't saying we're 100% of the problem, but we're the majority of the problem. Because everything, am I not right, Mike Pullen, rises and falls on leadership. And who's supposed to be the leader of the home? It's supposed to be the wife. Who's supposed to be the leader of this one flesh union called marriage? It's supposed to be the husband. So here's what the Bible says. Likewise, husbands. My first point comes from this one word, husband. Husband in our English language is a compound word that comes from a Latin word that means house band. I really wish you ladies would stop calling your husband, and just start calling him what he really is, and that's your house band. Next time you introduce your husband, would you just say to another lady, this is my house band. I like that. Now, every time I hear this word house band, I think about that little band of steel that holds things together in our life as a man. I used to go to the lumber yard, and I'd get a load of slabs. There'd be a little band holding those slabs together. We've brought railroad ties in on trucks to the farm, and those railroad ties will be held together on the semi by a band. I told you about building a treehouse for my grandkids. I went over to the Holt Sawmill, and I bought some sawmill lumber, and they had some already stacked. It had a little band around it. They put the loader under it, lifted it up, set it on my trailer, and when they set it on my trailer, I didn't need all the lumber, so here's what they did. They cut the band. Now, you guys know what happened when they cut the band, right? That lumber was all just doing its own thing, sitting there together, all just touching, hugged up with each other, nice pile, and then when they cut that band, you know what happened? Lumber went everywhere. Now, I got to be honest with you. If they'd have left that band on that lumber and brought that lumber, and I'd had to bring that lumber home, I wouldn't have had one of those nice little cutters like they had. You know what I cut bands with on the farm? I just go to the shed and get the axe, and I take the axe and wham, and that band breaks, and it goes everywhere. That's what's happening in our society. You're being attacked. You're being cut, you're being destroyed as a man, as the leader, and when you break, she goes this way, your son goes this way, your daughters go this way, the grandchildren goes this way, the business goes. If I was a wife, I'd be praying for my husband every day of his life without ceasing. So don't you guys to see this band you are. And here's what I want to say to you. Your wife needs you to be strong. She needs you to be a man of steel. She needs you to be strong physically. She needs you to be strong psychologically. She needs you to be strong spiritually. I know there's not a man in here who would not, if a murderer or a thief was breaking into the house and going to hurt our wife, there's not a man in here who would not put himself physically in harm's way and take a bullet or a knife for our wife. Amen. And at our funeral, we'd be a hero. What about psychological? Would you protect her there? She needs you to be strong psychologically. Because can I be totally honest with you? And I'm not picking on ladies here, but I'm going to tell you guys something. Where most of you are going to take the biggest hit psychologically, it's not going to come from a thief trying to break into your house. It's going to come from the person in your house. Your wife. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's going to be days when life is so hard being a wife that she's going to fire at somebody, and it's going to be you. And if you're lucky, it's just a .22 shot that misses. But it's probably going to feel more like a machine gun. And she is going to have that day where she's going to drop a nuke on you. And I want you to quit being a wimp. I want you to quit being a sissy. I want you to quit telling her you can't handle this. You can't do this anymore. Are you kidding me? I want my wife to know it doesn't matter what kind of day she has. She can unload anything she needs to load on me, and I'm not going anywhere. Amen? I am not running to the arms of another woman. I'm not going back home to my mama. I'm not telling my kids how bad my wife is. I'm going to man up. And I'm not going to just be strong physically for her. I'm going to flex my psychological muscles. Amen. Spiritually. Guys, we got an enemy. His name's Satan. Now, I'm not going to be arrogant enough to believe Satan's ever attacked me, but he has sent his little lieutenant a few times. And you know what Satan would love to do? He'd love to take me out. You know why he'd love to take me out? It's not anything personally toward me as Brother Ricky. He would love to take out my wife, and he'd love to take out my kids. He'd love to take out this church. He'd love to take out the influence I have in this community. And you know how he'd like to do that? He'd like to do that by taking me out. And he'd like to take you out too. Some of us are pathetic, spiritual lightweights. Can't stand up at all to Satan. We're supposed to be able to resist him, and he's supposed to flee. Is that not true? Guys, we need to get in the Word so the Word of God can get in us. And I want to tell you, your wife needs to know you can take on Satan for her and whatever he throws your way. I'm telling you, she needs a Superman, and you are that man for her. So let's be strong physically, let's be strong psychologically, and let's be strong spiritually. Amen, guys. Let's get into the gym in all three areas. Let's not just work on the biceps and the chest. Let's do the full man workout physically, spiritually, and psychologically. Got it? Secondly, we need to be studious as men. The Bible says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. King James says, dwell with your wife according to knowledge. But let me tell you what Peter said. Peter, writing in the original Greek, using his language, had some verbs we don't have. So Peter just says this, husbands, house with your wife. I like that. Husbands, house with your wives. In other words, what Peter says is our wives need us to be house husbands. Now, some of you think I just called you a sissy. I didn't. I know it's politically not correct to call a lady a housewife anymore. Even in conservative circles, she's a homemaker. And many don't even desire to be a homemaker anymore. But we husbands abandoned the house long before the wife did. As a matter of fact, we thought it was our calling. She deals with the inside, I deal with the outside. She cleans, I mow. So really the house is hers and I'm off doing my thing. Not according to Peter. Peter says a man ought to be domestic. I am responsible for the life I make inside the house with my wife. That's not on her. That's on me. Matter of fact, if I'm being honest with you, she's really just the thermometer. She's really just revealing how I'm doing. I'm the thermostat. You understand what I mean by that? Guys, listen, I'm supposed to live with her in an understanding way. I'm supposed to know her. I'm supposed to know what to do and what not to do. And I have guys still been married 20 years of life and tell me they don't know what to do or what not to do. Are you kidding me? You can go out into the woods and kill a trophy deer, D-E-E-R, and don't have a trophy, D-E-A-R, after 20 years of living with her. That's on you, buddy. That's on me. David knows this. David Outland is a big hunter. Am I not right, David? You don't just want to go somewhere else on somebody else's property and kill a big deer. You want to grow it yourself, don't you? It's a lot of work goes into that. You guys listening to me? This is on us. You know what our problem is? We're not studious enough when it comes to our wife. See, we forget she's like us compared to the animals, but unlike us compared to us. So we got to be studious. Don't tell me you're not studious. Some of you are students of football and you are students of basketball and you're students of business and you're students of politics. And I love being around some of you guys. Wow, you blow me out of the water. Matter of fact, sometimes people will be talking to me and they go, I had no clue you had this much. Yeah. Man, I know about other things than just the Bible. And you do too. How can you be a student of business? And how can you be a student of a football game or a basketball game? How can you be a student of sports? How can you be a student of a hobby and not be a student of your wife? You know that thing that you keep doing over and over again that keeps ticking her off and she keeps running from you? Didn't keep you from being a good deer hunter. Once you learned the D-E-E-R, run from that, you quit doing it. Right? Wash stuff in no scent detergent, put urine all over you for a D-E-E-R and won't do what you need to do for your D-E-A-R. Do I need to say any more here, guys? You should know her more than anyone. Please study your wife. She needs you to know who she is. Now, I know not all guys had this desire, but when I went to school, I liked academics. And I was just as competitive academically as I am at anything else. And man, when they said the standard was all A's, I shot for all A's. Now, it helped that my mom and dad was giving me a dollar for every A I got. Now, a dollar back then was a dollar. That was a lot of money. My grandparents chipped in dollars, too, but I never wanted to get a report card with a B on it. How many of you guys really desire academically to know your wife. I just want to tell you, this is real simple. She needs your attention. She needs your affection. She needs your admiration. She needs your acceptance, and she needs your availability. Five A's. Attention, affection, admiration, acceptance, and availability. Every day I want all A's on my report card with my wife. Not for me, for her. Amen. She needs me to be sensitive. Showing honor. Now notice this. Peter doesn't say showing honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. He now switches to a general word that says showing honor unto the woman as the weaker vessel. So Peter isn't addressing a problem with a wife here now. Peter's addressing something in the nature of a woman. And in some sense, there is a sense in which the wife is weaker than the man. This word weaker doesn't mean to be inferior. It just means to be without strength. So when you compare the man and the woman, there's a sense in which he has more strength than she has. So what are we supposed to do who have more strength? We're supposed to show honor to her. Therefore, I do not believe there's any way this means inferiority or superiority. As a matter of fact, here's my take on this. And if I was doing a Brother Ricky translation of the Bible, you know there will never be one of those because I'm not going to stand before the Lord and him bring my Bible out and show me where I messed up. But here would be my translation. Showing honor to the wife as the weaker yet more valuable vessel. Sometimes things that are weaker are actually more valuable than things that are stronger. I happen to believe that my wife, Selisa, is far more valuable than me, even though I'm the house band. And that governs my behavior toward her. Here's how I liken this. I'm the man of steel. She's the fine china of our home. We got two sets of dishware in our house. We got the everyday dinnerware, and then we got the china. It's behind the glass. Glass shelves, a lot. It's in the dining room. The other dishware, just in the cabinet, wood. Close the door, never see it. There are special occasions when we bring out the fine china. When we bring out the fine china, if I get to handle the fine china, I'm told to be careful with the fine china. We have never washed the fine china in the dishwasher. Hand washed. Regular dinnerware, just throw it in the dishwasher. Let it sit in the sink. We don't, but you can. 2 or 3 days, no problem. Now, y'all didn't hear me say we do that. Drop it, no big deal. Replace it, no big deal. And that's how some of us treat our wives. You ever heard of that phrase, bull in a china store? How dare you be a bull in the China relationship? I'll tell y'all when I had this driven home to me. Y'all gotta understand, I've been sheltered most of my life. I work occasionally with my dad. I work some with my son. I work with Chris Allen. I work with Chris Lawrence. I work with Matt. But when we built this church building, man, was I educated on men. We had some trades and some crafts down here, and I don't know how guys do it. I don't know how guys go to work every day and talk like they talk and slam each other the way slam each other and say things the way they say things, and I don't know how you survive, but I had to do it when we was down here. And I'd say to some guys, is this how y'all really act? Well, yeah. Yeah. And that's how you come home and treat her. We're trying to teach Crider and Finley and Garnet not to treat Evie Kate like they treat each other. Don't you dads dare let brother beat up sister or pick on sister, or that same brother will grow up and be a husband and he'll pick on his wife. You guys listening to me? She's not Chinette, paper plate. She's fine China. You're a man of steel. So don't flex that muscle to her. You may flex it at work to the guys, but when you handle her as valuable, not ordinary. Ever how that looks in your relationship? And then fourthly, Paul reminded us to be selfless. And before I go into that point, let me tell you what Peter said. Peter said, if you guys don't do what I've just told you to do, quit praying because your prayers will be hindered. You understand what that means? If you're not treating your wife right, don't bother to get on your knees and talk to the Lord because he ain't listening. If it's not good with her, it's not good with him. Because if you're married to a Christian, you know who your father-in-law is, right? God. And he's watching how you treat his daughter. Amen. Be selfless. In a little bit of my extra research this week, I discovered that in Greek culture at this day, Greek philosophers encouraged husbands by saying, phileo your wife and eros with your wife. Those are two other words that's used in the Greek language for love. The first word, phileo, means you love somebody, but when you love someone, you have expectations, so you enter into what we call a friendship. We give in order to get. And the Greeks told husbands in their society to phileo their wives. Love them with expectations. Then they also told a husband that it was his right to eros with his wife, and that meant to sexually pursue his passions and pursue her and dominate her and to be passionate and to be aggressive. Yet Paul, when he wrote to the Christian husbands, said this. He said, husbands, agapao your wife. Greek philosophers never used that word. But the Bible does. You know what God wants us to understand as men? He wants us to understand that our wives need us to love them with a love that's not motivated because of the needs we have in our bodies or our minds, but we love them with a love that originates because of the needs they have. Therefore, I love her with no strings attached. I don't do something hoping to get this. I don't do something hoping for that. Do you understand what the Bible's saying here? The Bible's telling us husbands not to love our wives so that we get something in return, but to love our wives for the pure joy of giving to our wives. Do you realize that when I love Salisa from her perspective and I give and love her to give to her, there's no expectations. I cannot be disappointed in the relationship. Because I'm not loving her for me, I'm loving her for her. Guys, she needs that from you. She needs you to drop the expectations. She needs you to love her unconditionally like Christ loved you. She needs you to be sacrificial. And if you remember who you are, the head, you can do this. Now I got 6 minutes and 20 seconds to talk to the wives. That's okay. You wives are fast, smart, quick learners. You don't have near the problem we men have anyway, so we can do this, all right? Now you guys pray for the next 6 minutes, okay? Likewise, wives, submit to your husbands so that even if some are not under the word, without a word, they may be won by your conduct, which is respectful and pure. Did everybody hear that? Did you ladies hear that? This is big. Now, first of all, let's make sure we're all on the same page, because some of you hadn't heard me preach on marriage before. Here's what Brother Ricky has discovered in counseling. Men marry the perfect woman every time. Men's got his spiritual radars out, got his physical radar out. He meets Miss Perfect. I met Miss Salisa, and I married her, Miss Perfect, which means husbands marry the perfect wife and then expect her to stay perfect the rest of the marriage and never change. Women never find Mr. Perfect. Women understand there are no perfect men. So women are now all fighting for the closest thing to perfection they can find. And when they find the closest thing find to perfection, they marry that person. But when they marry that person, here's what they believe. Now, you ladies know this to be true. You can now make him perfect. Which means men marry and don't want change. Women marry and expect change. So the wife goes into this expecting change. The husband goes this expecting no change. 15 years later, they're in my office, and the first thing I say to a wife is, just got to know this. Is he different now than when you dated him and married him? And usually they'll think, and I'll go, no, I mean, was he this? And she'll go, well, yeah. And then I'll say, so really, he hasn't changed. Nope, he ain't changed a bit. Oh, who's changed? And then the wife will look at me, and that's why wives don't want to come see me. And she'll say, I guess I have. Yeah, you have. Now, that's not bad. But you see this? Ladies, you got to understand this. You go into the marriage wanting to change him. And your agent of change is you want to talk. And you want to talk, 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 and you want to talk. You want to tell him what he's not doing right, and what he's not doing right, and what he's not doing right, and what he needs to do, and what he needs to do, and what he don't need to do, and what he don't need to do. And can I just say that's not going to work? It won't work. If you use words, you better use words carefully, because he'll either live down to your words or he'll live up to your words. And most husbands live down to the words of their wife. You ladies need to hear that. If you keep telling him where he's failing, he's going to know he's a failure, and he's going to live down to your expectation of him that he's a failure, and he's going to fail. And at some point, he's going to check out. He shouldn't, but he's going to. Please listen to Peter. Peter said, remember the servant? The servant gives respect to the master regardless of the master's behavior. And now Peter's saying, women, wives, look at Christ. See what he did. He really suffered and died to himself so that his bride might be set free. So here's what Peter's saying. You wives have the same responsibility the husband has. You can't just hide behind this Christ dying for the wife thing. You got to also understand that in your relationship with the husband, Christ got to be your example too. Does that make sense? So here's what Peter says. Without a word, win your husband over. Zip it. Sew it up if you have to. I mean, it hadn't been working anyway, right? Now listen to me. Husbands don't hear very well. I've told you this for years. Husbands are visually stimulated, not just physically, in all areas. So here's what Peter's saying. Let him see who you really are. Don't let him see this flesh person that's trying to make up for the flesh mistakes by braiding your hair and combing your hair. Now, ladies, don't take Peter literally. He's not telling you not to comb your hair. He's just telling you don't trust that when you get in front of the makeup and you redo the hair and you go get a new hairstyle and you go get another diamond ring, that's not going to fix him. Getting another diamond ring, wearing more bling, getting some fancy skinny jeans, not going to fix the marriage. Peter says, adorn yourselves, ladies, not externally, but internally. And the word adorn here is where we get our English word cosmetics from. It comes from the Greek word cosmos, which means to order, to arrange. So Peter understands. Now listen, guys, Peter's going to give a little more practical application than Paul did because Peter was married. He had a mother-in-law, right? If you got a mother-in-law, it means you got a wife. So he'd experienced this all firsthand, and so he knows how important cosmetics, he knows how important it is for a wife to order how she looks. But Peter's saying, don't pursue that outer beauty, pursue that inner beauty of a quiet and peaceable spirit, which in God's sight is precious. So here's what I want you ladies to do. I don't want you ladies to ever ask again, did you hear me? Are you listening to me? Can I just tell you, he's not. He checked out minutes ago. He checked hours ago. He checked out weeks ago. Some of you have had a husband who checked out years ago. And you keep wanting to turn up the hearing aid in his ear. It's not going to work. He's visually stimulated. What he needs to see is a quiet, gentle, peaceable woman who in a relationship with the Lord. Is more worried about how she looks in his eyes than she does his eyes. The Bible says this quiet, peaceable spirit in a wife is precious in God's sight. If it's precious in God's sight and you married a godly man, it'll be precious in his sight. Amen? Ladies, please say amen. Don't you men say a word, just listen. And then they give the example of Sarah. How that in the olden days, women desired to adorn themselves with humility and submissiveness. And it uses Sarah as an example where she followed Abraham. Now, I know you ladies are saying, man, if my husband just be like Abraham, really? God took her on a vacation twice and said when they pulled up at the restaurant, hey, these guys are looking at you. They think you're pretty. If someone asks, you're not my wife. You're my sister. And two men took Abraham's wife, Sarah, to their bedroom, and God had to intervene.
Yeah. Go home and hug your husband and praise the Lord, he's not an Abraham. Amen.
She followed him. And then the Bible says this, you can be a daughter of Sarah if you do good. Now, if you're not a daughter of Sarah, you're a daughter of Eve. You remember Eve, right? Wanted to rule over her husband, and God said, not going to happen, honey. It is not God's desire for you to rule over your husband. But you know what your husband would desire? I do not want to rule over Salisa. But you know what I do want to do? I want to rule with her. So you know what I need for her? I need her to respect me. And that's what your husband needs you to do, to respect him. Respect means to place high value on. Respect means to have high regard for. Respect means that you appreciate him. Don't ever bring that he hadn't deserved it stuff to me. You do not respect your husband because of what he does. You respect your husband because of who he is to you. And just as a wife needs unconditional love, a man needs unconditional respect. Amen? A man basically needs to be respected. If he's healthy, your husband may not be healthy, but if he's physically, spiritually, psychologically healthy, he needs you to respect his need to work. He needs you to respect his need to lead. He needs you to respect his need to rest. And he needs you to respect his need to make love to you. Please learn, he's wired to leave home and go out and work and provide. Yes, pray for him if he's a workaholic. But please be careful as the wife. Be that home manager who manages your home to live on what he makes so there's not pressure for him to feel like he's a failure. He gets his identity from his work.
He's wired to lead. He really is. I know in some men it just starts out this, honey, where you gonna go this weekend? Nowhere. Where you wanna eat? I don't care. Really? He's trying. He's putting forth an effort. And you're not putting any fuel on that at all. If every time he tries to lead, you put water, he will quit leading. I have never met a man who didn't take seriously wanting to lead. But it is really hard to lead a daughter of Eve who desires to rule over you and doesn't have that quiet and gentle spirit. Thirdly, respect his need to rest. I love the Robin Hood movie where King of England, King John, I think it was, gathers some people he's wanting to help fight for him. And he basically says when they confront him about wanting individual property and lands, and he basically says, do you think every man deserves a castle? And then the man playing Robin Hood stepped up and said, every man's home is his castle. And here's what you ladies must understand. Your husband is going out in the world, no matter how or what you think of him, he thinks he's providing and he's protecting and he's earning a living. And when he comes home, he's coming home to his castle and he wants to shut the gate. And he don't want to fight. He may wrestle with the grandkids or wrestle with his son, but he doesn't want to wrestle with you. Please. Please. Let him rest. You want him to treat you like a queen? He's got to know he's king of the castle. You show me a man who's not treating his wife like a king, and I'll show you a man who does not believe he's king. Because his wife has dethroned him. And lastly, he loves you. Therefore, if he's healthy, spiritually, physically, psychologically, he's going to want to make love to you. I don't want you ladies ever, ever again making your husband's desire that God gave him to make love to you and be sexual. Don't you ever make that carnal. Don't you ever make that fleshly. Don't you ever make him feel like that's sinful. Don't you ever make him feel like that's wrong. Just as you have a need for him to be strong and you have a need for him to be studious and you have a need for him to be sensitive, you have a need for him to be selfish, he has a need to make love to you. He's been designed that way by God. I know ladies need intimacy that leads to the sex. Ladies, please hear me say this. Sex is the intimacy for a man. Don't you keep disrespecting him like you are. That's an identity with him that's just as strong as his need to work and to lead and to rest, if not stronger than all them put together. Please, when you leave here, remember who you are. Bye. Have a great, great, great rest of the day.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.